Reese on the radio, making sense of the news. Yeah, even when it makes no sense at all. Now on WTIC News Talk 1080.
By the way, programming note, in an hour, we're going to have on the program Miss Nadine Thomas of the Underground New England. She is helping people get their lives back together after they've been victims of trafficking, sex trafficking in particular. She'll be on the program at about 4:05 today to talk about that. And of course, this story that came out of Hartford this weekend. In fact, which I hear now is a bigger story than we know. There was an arrest over the weekend of a little more than 400 people that this may be ensnared in. But I'll get all the details and we'll break all that down because this is a subject we're going to talk about a lot as it pertains to immigration, illegal immigration in this country. We're finding out that there's a lot of trafficking going on while these politicians are running around screaming and hollering about ICE this and ICE that. And, you know, these are our friends and neighbors. And we've got some really, really dirty politics going on here. When I say dirty politics, is that these people claim to be fighting for those who are disenfranchised, but ignoring the ones who are being sex trafficked, who I would somewhat deem far more disenfranchised. So we'll talk to Nadine Thomas about that and about trafficking in this case. And we did find out, as Mark Walsh, as you know, as Mark from West Hartford explained, that a large number or considerable number of those who were trafficked in this Hartford case were of Hispanic descent. Whether or not they were illegals or children of illegals remains to be seen because a lot of the details are sealed. So we haven't gotten that info yet. Hopefully someone will be able to forward that to us. Mark's working on his sources. I'm working on mine. We'll get to them as soon as possible. Let's go to Christine in Middletown. Hello. I haven't talked to you in a bit.
Hi, Reese. Well, I have to formally welcome you to our beautiful but very expensive state. I'm not surprised by the quotes by Ben Proto. After all, the Connecticut GOP botched our state elections last year.
Yeah.
And there were over 36 empty seats.
Sure did.
You know, and State Central really messed up with me because I entered the race with about 4 days to go to be to get signatures to be on the Republican ballot.
Yeah.
And my State Central rep said, yeah, no problem. As I said, I have to work. I work every weekend. What's the time? Oh, we'll take care of it for you. Then when Tuesday came, she asked where the signatures were, and I said, I told you I have to work. So I had to do everything on my own. And then when I ran into Ben Proto, because the Connecticut GOP headquarters is in Middletown, you know, you think he'd offer or give a card and say, hey, thanks for running. If you need anything, please reach out to me. Nope, none of that.
Yeah, well, they say that that's a big problem with Proto, is the lack of support. I'm reading some of the details on him, and they're saying other markers for success for Ben Proto. This is what they write. The Connecticut GOP raised $3.2 million in 2024, though much went to national transfers, $1.3 million, and overhead rather than direct campaigning, which was $81,000 in mailings. Proto has been appointed National GOP Budget Director by RNC Chairman Gruthers, signaling trust at the federal level despite state-level critiques. So whoever it is responsible for picking a guy. Now, look, do I believe that what we saw last night should have been Proto ousted? Yeah, it's debatable. I'm sorry. It just is. Saying that, don't worry, we'll get him next year after we've had two. And I didn't even mention how badly we did in 2022 or 2024, as per mention. But this isn't bad. We had no Republicans flip any seats. No flips. It was all Democrat flips, all of them.
Reese, I'll tell you, I like the simple message by the Plainville Republicans on all the signs I see walking over all over town.
Yeah.
You earn it, you keep it. That should be the one and only message by Republicans here to start with.
That's
we are
right.
Overtaxed. Stay off the social issues. We're, you know, when a family of four to go to McDonald's is $50, we have a problem with that. Let's attack the financial issues. And you know what? And I want someone to call out the elephant in the room. That's our public sector unions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's again, that's another, and it's touchy because, I don't even want to get into that discussion. It's not even.
When I ran, though, I wasn't scared to bring up that we should eliminate some state agencies and let nonprofit groups handle some of their business of that. You know, we have to get our financial house in order.
That's right.
Granted, I don't get an endorsement by the public sector union,
yet,
but I be true to my convictions that we need more people to do that.
I agree. I think we need to get off two things. One, stop getting off the renewable energy thing. For some odd reason, that's still a focus. And we got to get off this this whole deal about affordable housing. We don't need affordable housing. We need people who can afford to live. That's what we need here. Affordable housing isn't the issue. So, you know, that's just the way it goes. Thank you, Christine. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Reed.
You got it. We might as well go to him now because I didn't get the headlines, and I'll do it in the next break. How we doing, Mark?
Oh, you got me?
Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Hey. So, listen, I don't expect you to comment because this is kind of an awkward thing for you. You just took a call from Christine. But for those of you who pay attention to me, paid attention to Christine, and, you know, I'm not asking anybody to take sides, but I will tell you this. She participated. I had everybody who follows me or knows a little bit about me. I've had two false complaints put against me by a councilwoman, Mary Faye in West Hartford.
Mm-hmm.
And Christine from Middletown took part in the second one against me. This thing is coming to a head. The documents, I'm going to take snapshots, and you'll see comments that she made on behalf of Mary Faye, basically telling everybody I was a fraud, which isn't true. But anyway, that's for another day. So for those of you who follow Christine, I'm not asking you to take sides, but I will tell you this. I wouldn't trust her, and I wouldn't trust Mary Faye because I bet you Christine didn't know Mary Faye put her in the complaint against me along with other people who she used like texts and cell phone calls behind their back trying to go after me. Can you imagine that, Reese? Like, that would be like me and you having a personal conversation, and then all of a sudden I find it in a police report. I'm like, hey, I thought you and I were talking in private. So, Christine, you stabbed me in the back, whatever. Let's get to Ben Proto.
Yep.
I just posted a little snippet. So I got to be like Trump a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm right about everything. I've been talking about Ben Proto for years.
You have been the only one.
And he would be the guy who would take phone calls up until a couple years ago. And there's a one famous one. I just put a little snippet up because of this one comment he made to me. So I called him out for not doing anything during COVID. So I would call out all the Republicans, Semmes Claridis, Rob Sampson, all the names you know. These people were silent during COVID while Ned Lamont was giving executive order out after executive order. So I called him out. He was trying to say, Ben Proto tried to say he was not and the chairman's position when all those executive orders were put out. And I talked to you before.
Right.
So I called him out on it. I got the date when he was appointed, and I've got the date to the 22 executive orders Ned Lamont put in afterwards. But this one snippet, I just posted on Mark from West Harvard on X. Listen to it. He goes, it's not the job of the party chairman to call out Governor Lamont when I called him out for not good. Listen, there were GOP chair people, persons, all over the country, calling out their liberal, woke, incompetent governors for the decisions they were making, and Ben Proto stayed silent. He was just, and that's just a piece of it. Forget that he is just horrible at campaigning, fundraising.
I'll tell you this. You said, you know, he's horrible at campaigning. And that's kind of what the focus of my opening monologue was.
Yes.
Because you didn't even have to say this, and you've been kind of the person who's been sort of like nubbing me about Ben Proto, but I had to literally look everywhere I could at all of these races saying, and of course, Aaron Stewart, after dropping out, where was his leadership or even involvement in that race? Nowhere to be found. Steve Orozco, for him to get skunked by Justin Ellicker in that race, which was actually a state race, even though it was local, but I mean, it was covered statewide. Whether or not, like, you got involved with that, Orozco's making, like, headlines running against Ellicker, and you don't support the guy? He was running his own campaign, getting his own sort of free publicity, and no one came to that guy's aid. And what happens? This guy ends up pulling in 1,600 votes in a major city. That's embarrassing. But why? There was no leadership to help him. None.
Well, then the next time we're together, I'll give you the long version of my friend Richie Rullio, who ran first time. Solid guy, solid. I can't tell you what a great guy he is. And he gave me the inner workings because we're friends, and he was telling me how it was working. To a point, and I think I had told you this, there was a radio show. I was getting him on. I told you this before. Will Marotti interviewed him. Tom yeah. Shattuck. Todd Feinberg loved the guy because he was genuine.
Yeah.
Right? He goes to another station. They try to, and this station promotes Ben Proto. They try to shake him down for money for campaign ads.
Wow.
He's trying to get his name out there. Nobody knows him. He wanted to present his platform. It is so dirty. One day we're going to, me and you and my friend Richie are going to sit down. But I think you got to search out. And you know me, I try not to promote any. It's hard to trust any of them. But this guy, so far, I think we need to have Dan Moresi on just to have a conversation about what he thinks of how Connecticut's GOP is run. He is a beast. So far, like when I read his stuff, and he wants to change the face of the GOP. And I don't think you've talked to him yet.
No, we haven't. He and I have not had a conversation yet.
I think that he would be, for this purpose, to talk about what's broken. And he's always putting down what needs to be fixed. But he's like, it's unusual to have somebody who, and he's not on the inside, it's unusual to have a Connecticut Republican who wants to make change, who wants to do it. He's willing to call out the frauds. He's like an anomaly. There's
do
not
you,
many.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this before you go. Do you? Aside from the leadership, but let's take Aaron Stewart's seat in particular. I said during my opening monologue that if Aaron Stewart could not anoint her successor, and that successor got the pants beat off of them by a Democrat, what does that say about Aaron Stewart's stewardship?
Well, I got to go back a few weeks ago when I went to the location where they found Mimi Garcia's body.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I told you I spoke to all I'm telling you, people on the street, I spoke to people with Polish accents, Hispanics, blacks, whites. They couldn't stand her because my take was like, hey, have you seen any elected or appointed officials down here? That was my take. And then when I would specifically say Aaron Stewart, oh, my God, not one. They were outright outraged at just hearing her name. It was like that Niagara Falls thing.
Yeah.
You know, slowly I turn around. You say her name, they, and I was there like, wow, you would think.
Yeah. That's,
yeah,
it's an interesting, yeah.
Something positive.
That's, like
so
I
that
say.
Gave me a, that put my finger on the pulse of kind of what I knew already.
Yeah.
But to be there and hear them speak and what she's doing wrong and what she
I would go so
right.
far as to say this. Like, look, man, that Mimi story is a statewide story, and Aaron's involvement in it so far beyond that press conference that you know, focused on that is now like well over 300,000 hits.
Oh, it's 380,000.
Yeah, it's incredible. But even the fact that she has had no follow-up to that story, as new details come out, we know that the boyfriend of the mother has been charged with new charges. And still there's been no response by her even putting out a press conference or getting to the bottom of it. I thought that was very telling. Thank you, Mark. And then I'll end with Rudy. How you doing, Fred?
Hey, I'm sorry. So, yes, slowly I turned, inch by inch. That's my favorite. Everybody's ready to do that.
Yeah.
I just wanted to drop a Jesse Kelly report. He said that if the founding fathers knew that all it would take for you to be entitled to vote was to be alive at 18 years of age, they
yeah.
would not have bothered, you know, all
yeah.
this. Yeah. I mean, own property, have skin in the game, maybe know how to read and write, you know, stuff like this. That was a famous call there. I wrote a poem about it. I won't give you the whole thing, just the opening line.
Mm-hmm.
He's not half as annoying as Bono or a waterboarder like Yoko Ono, but nobody likes Ben Proto. Yeah.
He's, I know, that. I don't know if, you know, some people have said, hey, do you want to talk to him? I'm just going, I don't know if he and I almost feel like he and I would only end up fighting. I don't
no,
know if it'd be productive.
Talk to him, dude. I would love to hear that. He's
okay.
kind of like a slow, ponderous. I think you could handle him with ease. He's like a 300, I mean, literally and figuratively, like a 350-pounder. But he's got like a certain rage, but I think you could rope-a-dope him or sidestep him.
I know what, I know, listen to me, be honest with you, there's a reason why I'm apprehensive to, I want to, but I'm apprehensive to be honest with you, because I know that when I talk to him, there's going to be some tension after. And
there's going to be a problem.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel
you're
it.
Probably onto something. Let me say no more about that. And get-
you can hear me, right?
Yeah. You're fine.
I saw the evidence that Mark was talking about with Mr. Rebstock. The email and the complaint that Faith, like he's in that complaint, and he threw Mark under the bus, and it was wrong. But I want to get to the election, but AOC,
yeah.
She revealed the other day that Trump stopped Taylor Greene from running for Senate. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I was talking about.
I can't believe she even listened to him.
You know what? That's a good point. That is a good point.
Because usually when he endorses people, they lose.
Okay, so you're saying like not wanting his endorsement could have been positive for her.
Right. Just running on who she is. You know, you mentioned MAGA didn't win anything up in that area, but MAGA doesn't always run up in that area.
Oh, no. What I was saying was, I was literally using MAGA as a euphemism. What I was saying is...
talking about like New England?
Yes, exactly.
How many federal elected congressional members are Republican in New England?
I know the answer.
There's one.
Exactly.
Susan Collins, isn't exactly conservative or MAGA.
She's never been accused of or mistaken as conservative.
So the leadership from New Jersey to Boston to Maine for the Republican Party is non-existent.
That's right.
Joke.
That's right.
Your representation in Connecticut for Republican Party has shrunk since he took over. Mm-hmm. They had 42 seats unopposed, the Democrats, in 2024 or 2022.
Yep.
They didn't get candidates. He, I don't know who's the idiot in D.C. that gave him the RNC job.
Apparently, and in fact, I just had his name up. I just said his name. But yeah, in fact, gave him confidence, even though he had nothing to show for it. And the guy's name is, why am I, I'm losing it now. His name was just in front of me.
I'll find it.
Go ahead. You talk.
After hearing the mayor's speech when he won and all that stuff, I don't know exactly what abuse of power Donald Trump has done, because he's actually, and you know I'm not his biggest fan.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Base. But he's not breaking any laws. I mean, is he hurting people? No, because Congress is the one that hasn't passed the budget. Trump can't pass the budget. Can he release emergency funds? Maybe. But...
The emergency funds that he can release are only half that's needed.
Right.
It's $5 million of $5 billion.
Everyone's getting half.
Exactly.
So I don't know where they come off saying he's like a renegade outlaw, because
it's easy to digest to the mainstream news media. The mainstream news media are stenographers. Whatever it is that Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer says at a podium, these folks don't question it. They just write down what they're told. Okay, Donald Trump is a horrible, mean, evil person. That's what Chuck Schumer said. We're not going to challenge that. So that's how that goes.
I want to give a compliment yesterday to a caller, Lori.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She made that topic that we don't want to discuss clear. But she made one good point, Larice.
What was that?
Her daughter is a very established lawyer, but she has one that you can't see.
That's right. A tattoo that you can't see.
Right. So I want to be cool and have a tattoo, but you can't see it. It's a participation trophy for that generation.
I saw that.
I just blew your show up. I'm sorry, but
that's okay. Because you listen to me. I was talking to my wife about it yesterday, and it was one of the things that I left the show afterwards. I was shaking my head. I was going, "That damn Rudy." So
I have a beautiful. I have a beautiful girl that comes in, and she's like 22, and her mom's like in her early 40s, and she's a lawyer. Same thing. The lawyer has no tattoos. This girl has a partial sleeve to her elbow. Showed her the elbow. She said she got them between 17 and 19. She's 22. And she goes, I regret it every single day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I have no reason. I cannot give you a legitimate reason why I put ink in my body, and I'm fearful that that ink is going to poison me.
Well, yeah, that, in fact, it's a whole story about that, too. Let me get to a break. I just realized what the time was. Thanks, Rudy. I love you, buddy. Let's get to another break. We'll be back. More news, more views when we return. It's Reset on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Hey, whoa, 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 hold up. 100 candles on the cake? Who do you think's lighting this?
We're back, Reese on the Radio. Let's get to some headlines real quick. More layoffs coming to Connecticut. The latest notice of worker adjustment, noting that 51 people will be let go from a titanium solids operations, which is called ELG Utica Alloys in Hartford. They notified the Rapid Response Coordinator from Connecticut Department of Labor, Rapid Response, that it will discontinue its solids processing operations effective December 31st. Well, at least it'll be after Christmas. As a result of this business decision, they write, approximately 41 bargaining unit employees and approximately 10 bargaining unit employees will be separated from their employment. That's a nice way to put it. Just say you got fired. That's all. Democrat Justin Ellicker, as I mentioned before, cruised to a fourth two-year term as New Haven's mayor yesterday after a campaign that focused on both his record on housing and public safety, as well as the city's opposition to the Trump administration and their policies. He had over 84% of the vote, with only absentee ballots remaining to be counted, of which were far too few to change the outcome. Ellicker defeated Republican challenger and guest of this show, Steve Orozco, in all 30 wards across the city. Based on preliminary results, the independent collected from polling places, the final official results have yet to be determined. But what we gathered last night, 12,000 votes went to Ellicker, a paltry 1,600 went to Orozco. Also, in a huge victory for Connecticut Democrats, State Representative Bobby Sanchez flipped the New Britain mayor's office, as I told you, blue for the first time in 12 years, ending the GOP control of the state's eighth largest city. Political observers were keeping a close watch on New Britain's mayoral race because Tuesday, it was the first time since 2013 that Democrats had a chance to run a candidate against someone other than Aaron Stewart, who portrayed the wildly popular across six mayoral elections in her hometown. Sanchez not only won with a wide margin, but appeared to bring in a 10-5 supermajority for Democrats on the Common Council. Sanchez said, "Tonight, New Britain chose progress. I'm deeply honored by the faith of this community has placed in me, and I will work every day to earn it. This campaign was never about one person. It was about bringing people together and make our city stronger, safer, and fair for everyone. The message is clear. No more Republicans. Let's bring in the Democrats," Sanchez said. And now for the stupidest thing I read today.
This could very well be the stupidest person on the face of the earth.
Stupidest thing I read today is Democrats are back. You're not. You are not back. Please don't think you are. There's no way that you are back. The evidence shows that you are not back. Everyone knows that you are not back. And it's not anyone's fault but your own. Let's take a few turns at the evidence that you're not back.
I think Gen Z is going to be a lot more conservative. I think that just my experience knowing Gen Z kids, my kids and their friends and whatever, I sense much more skepticism of, and I think it is a reaction to Gen Xers and millennials forcing on them progressive views in school. And I think that there's going to be, I think there're going to be some conservatives. This is my general impression.
Yeah.
I don't fight.
That was an early read. That was an early read of Gen Z and then kind of a beta, but it may be what ends up happening.
But didn't, right? I mean, Trump did not win young voters as he constantly says he did, but he did do better with them.
That's right.
Than other previous, Republicans.
Yeah. That's not just one sign. Other Democrats agree. You're still a mess.
We're in terrible shape. Like we just have to be very honest with ourselves. The Democratic Party is in really, really bad shape. The fact that our approval rating is, you know, depending on the poll you believe, somewhere in the 20s or the teens, while Donald Trump is busy kind of vandalizing the government, that ain't good. And I think there's many reasons for that, which we can discuss, but we have not begun to address those problems. I do think we will not be able to fully address them until we have a leader. And that won't be for like 3 years when we nominate somebody for president, because parties ultimately are defined by their leaders and defined by them almost entirely. I mean, you can think about what Republicans did after 2012. As you know, they did a big retrospective, the autopsy. They're like, we need to be nicer to immigrants. And then they nominate Trump and they go the opposite direction. So the nominees and the presidents make the party brand. And for the next few years, we won't have that.
And you've got to ask yourself, Democrats, like, if you are so back, who's your leader? If you're so back, right? If the party's on the come up, who's the leader? Who's the titular leader of the Democrat Party? You can't go back to Obama. You can't even go to Biden. Did you see Biden in New Jersey yesterday? Did you see those videos? I, to be honest with you, I can't even clown the guy anymore. I can't. I used to make fun of the doddering old fool. I can't do it anymore. Now, whatever's happening to him. And by the way, just so you know, this guy called it elder abuse long before it was popular. It's not elder abuse, they told me. It looks bad now. It looks bad. Jimmy Carter looked better. Because you knew Jimmy Carter was 100. Joe Biden doesn't look good. But again, if you're so back, because I see them, they're all in the chat room saying it. We're back. We're going to take you Republicans. Yeah. Where? Where's the party leadership? Even Nancy Pelosi's decided to go, I'm done. They're all going. Simsbury's in the house. What's going on, Joe?
Well, real quick in Simsbury, because you talked about this on your show, the Democrats clobbered the Republicans, unfortunately.
Sure did.
I wasn't surprised, but I was shocked.
Tell me why.
The level of beating that it was.
Yeah.
And it's too small of a sample size, but in talking with some Democrats, they had no clue about the Mextudis treatment of an 88-year-old Joan Coe, or what said and did and all the other stuff. These people go to the polls. They have no clue, and there's nothing we can do about that. We can argue about it. We can rant and rave about it, how stupid they are, how uninformed they are. They really are.
But did you, so wait a minute, Joe, real quick, did you feel like Republicans didn't really put up a fight? Because I didn't see any real passion coming out of Republican candidates. Orozco at least made it up here to the show. He was on television. He was calling, you know, at least he had some press on his side. I'll admit the strategy sucked, because I feel like he went into places where nobody would vote for him. Even though they liked him, they were never going to show up at the polls because he was in the hood, in the inner city, trying to get that electorate. Well, not even electorate, but those folks to actually become the electorate. And they didn't move. They didn't budge. They didn't care. But other people didn't make themselves known. I saw no one nowhere.
Well, I think that's part of our problem, because it's part of our personality. In Simsbury, I saw far more Democrat signs out on lawns than Republican signs.
Right.
They always seem to have a better ground game like that. But I think as Republicans, and I'm just going to throw this out there, people may disagree. I think that we rely so much on who we are. And who we are is we are intelligent. We are thoughtful. We look at both sides. We have values. That's how we come to become a Republican.
Right.
And our expectation, I believe, is that people out there are very similar to us. And once they see it, they're going to be on our side.
Yeah.
And the people out there are not. They would be if they were educated as to what has actually taken place. I believe that they would be. But I believe most Democrats are not educated about what they're actually voting for.
That's true. Their motivation is more about beating Republicans than it is about knowing the issues or, in fact, how their vote is going to impact their daily lives. They're very tunnel vision.
Especially in Simsbury. We had the whole thing with the affordable housing bill that our state representative, a Democrat, she did vote against it in the end. Governor Lamont vetoed it. Mm-hmm. Yet we still had Democrats in this town who were all for it, who were lying to the people of this town,
yeah.
And they were not held responsible by the people of this town. And until you have a situation where people have to show that they actually base their opinion on factual occurrences in you know whatever market it is, local market, national market, you're always going to have this kind of stuff where too many ignorant people vote, and it's just it's a shame. But I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to chime in quickly on the tattoo thing because that was a great conversation. But I couldn't
you really did. People really resonated with this tattoo story.
So somebody, and I feel bad for those people that have a lot of tattoos because of the ink thing. But somebody made a comment to me in the last couple of years that I recalled, and they said. And I don't mean this to be detrimental to people in any way, and it is specific to women, is that the amount of tattoos on a woman is directly related to the amount of trauma that she has had in her life.
I've heard that.
So if you have a lot of tattoos, stay away.
I've heard that. And it's interesting, Joe, that you and I have heard that on different corners of the country. Right? Because there are those things that we call like the unwritten rules or the unwritten known, the unknown known, so to speak. And, that's so true. I've heard that so many times that, and I think it's emblematic. Like guys get tattoos because, hey, that looks cool. I like this particular symbol. And women are very, look, my wife has one. Survivor, you know, and that's, of course, that for her, that's emblematic of her struggle in life. So, yeah, the trauma thing, it tracks. It completely tracks.
You know, I haven't heard it about men, but I would have to say that other than if you go beyond having a sleeve or so as a man, mm-hmm. and if you're, and I would also say, this is really going to be unfair, if you're a man who works out and yeah. you're doing that, that's one thing. If you're a guy with skinny arms who's never hit the gym, that to me, that's an entirely different situation. But then when you start putting it all over your body, I would have to say the same thing. I don't know who you're communicating with, who you think you're communicating with, what message you're trying to deliver. You got something wrong with you, and I hope you can get some help. Because
yeah.
I think it's just too much.
And
I would include NBA players in that because we see their arms and they're totally covered. It's like, come on. Are you kidding me? No one can see what you have written unless they're standing 3 inches away from it. And even then, so what are you doing? What is the mental block that
yeah.
you think that that's a good thing?
I don't get it either. I say that it's funny because my older brother, who's darker than me, has tattoos. And I go, who can read that? I don't even know what that's supposed to be. That looks like a tattoo yeah. in the dark. That's what it looks like. Yeah. I got to go. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much.
You got it, man. Let's take a break. We'll come back. More news, more views coming up. Nadine Thomas of the Underground New England to talk about trafficking. She's joining us in a little bit. We'll get to your phone calls if we can, but stick around. It's Reese on the Radio on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's Reese on the Radio on News Talk 1080 WTIC.
Hey, we're back. It's Reese on the Radio, WTIC News Talk 1080. Naomi, thank you so much. If I can let it a secret, so at the beginning, well, not the beginning, it's actually the second half hour of the program, I played the Mamdani speech with O Fortuna in the background if you missed it. Let me, can I start it? Let me just play it. Here's a little bit of it.
Yeah. standing before you, I think of the words of Jawaharlal Nehru. A moment comes but rarely in history when we...
The reason why I play that, and again, Naomi, if you are new, it's not my first rodeo. Whenever a dark figure joins politics, I play that piece. It is one of my favorite pieces to play at the end of, like, if it's an election, if it's something like that. So far I have played this for Hillary Clinton back in 2008. I played it for Joe Biden when he gave his speech in Philadelphia. You remember the one with all the red? That one was one of my favorites. I played that. And Mom Donnie has now been the third. So Naomi says, nearly busted a gut laughing when you played O Fortuna from Carmine Banana of Mondami's acceptance speech. Brilliant. You have my respect. I appreciate you. It's great because it works with every really dark speech. And I get a kick out of playing it because of the effect that it has. It works perfectly. Let me see if I can do it one more time, because I'm certain, without a doubt, I'm going to see if I can do it here. Maybe it's, I wonder if it's here. Because it's, you'll say to yourself, look, yeah, it does work no matter where you are. And I need, let me see if that is, yeah, here it is. Let me play this, and I'll tell you exactly what I mean. It doesn't matter. You can use, as long as the speech is grand and dark. This is the actual clip I played many moons ago. Nothing changed. And you just changed the speaker. Joe Biden.
But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight, I've come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our own hands to meet these threats, and about the incredible future that lies in front of us.
I didn't even edit the speech. I put the speech up as it went, with Fortuna in the background, and it went perfectly. It's really, really easy to do. It's my favorite thing to do when they do it. Let's get our first check of weather and traffic. It is windy out there again. I couldn't even get anywhere, Mark Christopher, in the BPS Traffic Center. All the lines were down.
Really?
It was crazy. All on Route 6 or Route 4, wherever it was. I mean, it was backed up. 18-wheelers were everywhere. It was nightmarish.
Well, I guess we have, as the meteorologist would say, a tight pressure gradient.
Yeah.
That's the word for today. Tight pressure gradient. The three words for today.